In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Basic communication skills.
Okay, do you have the handout for communication? It's a thick one. At least 10 pages. I will discuss this handout in the first lecture and the second presentation. It will be according to the request of some of you, it will be from Ezekiel 34 in English, about communication of the heart, heart to heart. And communication in general, as all of you know, is divided into verbal and non-verbal. The verbal is the most easy one. Anybody could speak the verbal. But some of us are so expert in the non-verbal. And the non-verbal carries 60 to 75% of the meaning of the message. So the message delivered from one to another is mostly through the non-verbal, not through conversation, not through verbal communication, words. So there's a heavier weight of value more on the expressions of the face and the tone of our voice and the movement of our body, hands, arms and legs, and others. The non-verbal communication is regarded as advanced skills for communication. And the verbal is the basic skills. And you will see in the handout that the basic skills are divided between three parts, between listening, self-disclosure, and expressing. And you will find in each the meaning and the goal of each one of them, how to do it, and blocks for that particular part of the communication, and maybe rewards, the consequences, the outcome. If you do it the right way, what will happen? So in any communication, someone must listen, and listening is different than hearing. Listening is different than hearing. Someone must listen attentively, actively involved in the process of listening, listen with empathy, and within the listening, he understands the message given to him by the speaker. The goal of the listener is not to prepare the answer. The goal of the listener is to primarily understand what the speaker is telling him or her. So, if anything will happen which should block the process of understanding the spoken message, we call it blocks for listening. Why I do listen? Why? There has to be goals. And you will see here in the handout, we'll go reading it together, you'll find something called pseudo-listening and half-listening and real listening. You pretend that you are listening, but you are not. you have different goals. So we start reading about listening. Self-disclosure, I will pick for you certain issues, in particular blocks and rewards, and in expressing how to deliver a good, understandable, clear and precise message to be understood. And I explained before, for the Arabic speakers, I said to them, one of the best ways for communication is what we call the speaker-listener technique. So in order no one will interrupt the speaker and no one will block the process of speaking, there has to be an object, preferably not sharp. That object, the one who is speaking is holding the object. As long as he is holding that object, like a folded paper or a cross or something, then the listener, when he will see that object in the hand of the speaker, his job is to listen and understand. And then he could paraphrase what he or she understood in his or her own language, not parroting the same message with the words of the speaker. So he will listen, understand, and paraphrase to say what did he understand. And then the object will be given by the speaker to the listener. Now the exchange role. The listener holding the object will start to speak, and the speaker start to listen. And each one of them could limit the time of speaking by 2 or 3 minutes maximum. You could speak less, but don't exceed 2 or 3 minutes, depending on what you want. You could limit it, you could say 5 minutes, but it's too long in a conversation, in a communication. And we'll see now what is the role of the listener in couple communication. Because now I'm communicating with you, but this is public presentation. And you will see in the skills, the advanced skills, that the distance. So the difference between me and the one who's close to me now is so close. He's intimately close to me. But the distance between the table here and you is far. This distance is in presentation, but not between friends, like him and I now. So even the distance during the communication count, as we're going to hear now. So if, say, the president of the company, of a company or of the country, someone is presenting, you will find the distance is getting bigger, longer, between him and the people around him. If the Pope is going to present something, you'll find a huge hole. Maybe the distance between him and the first row could be over 20 feet. But if you are talking to your friend or your spouse, of course the distance must be shorter than that. So in communication, we'll start by the role of the listener.
Listening with the intention to do each or all of the following. One, to listen. One, to understand. Two, to enjoy.
3, to learn. 4, to help.
See, those are the 4. 4 intentions for the listener. If you have anything other than these 4, you might be going into either pseudo-listening or half-listening. You listen, and in your mind, one or more of those goals. You want to listen, maybe to learn, or to understand, or to enjoy. You want to enjoy. You want to apply and help by listening to someone. Say you are in a group, and you are learning to get and apply something. You want to understand and focus. Maybe someone is chanting and you're listening to enjoy. But listening in order to answer back or do something else is not one of the acceptable goals for listening.
Pseudo-listening. The intention is not to listen, but to meet some of the following needs. 1. Making people think you are interested so they will like you. 2. Being alert to see if you are in danger or of getting rejected. 3. Selective listening. 4. Buying time to prepare your next comment. 5. Half listening to someone will listen to you, so someone will listen to you. 6. Listening to find someone's vulnerabilities or to take advantage. 7. Searching for the weak points in an argument so you can always be right. 8. Check to see how people are reacting, making sure you produce the desired effect. 9. Half listening because a good, kind, or nice person would. And 10. Half listening because you do not know how to get away without hurting or offending someone.
Did you get it? These are negative motives. Negative motives for listening. Not like the first 4 which you have mentioned, positive motives. So, selective listening, which means you select what you want to listen to, and then you don't listen. But you are showing the speaker that you are listening, pretending that you are listening. But actually, you have selected only. And if he will surprise you by saying, "What did they say?" Of course, you'll be totally exposed because you did not hear the whole message. It's happening in families. Most teenagers, they use that. Selective. And those who are still adolescent, although they are adult, many men use that also. When their wives are nagging and speak too much, they have selective listening to what they want to listen. And then pause, and they don't listen. People with attention deficit disorder, they can't continue listening. So sometimes they pretend that they are listening, but they are not attentively listening. And then the other motives, negative motives which he has mentioned, all of them are negative. This is not true listening. Yes.
Blocks to listening. 1. Comparing. 2. Mind reading. 3. Rehearsing. 4. Filtering.
You see, all these are blocks. If you do it, say, you filter certain words. While you are talking, I'm comparing what you are saying to somebody. My mind is not with you. I'm not focused with you. So my attention is taken away. My listening is taken away by one of those blocks. Okay, continue.
5. Judging. 6. Dreaming. 7. Identifying. 8. Advising. 9. Sparing. 10. Being right. 11. Derailing. 12. Placating. 13. Avoiding. 14. Pretending to listen while involved with something else like TV, computer, newspaper, etc.
If I am listening and am prejudging you, this is not true listening. If I find that you are speaking about something and now it applies to me, and you interrupt, you say, yes, yes, I have interrupted you. If you are talking to me and then I will try to derail, which means I will try to get it longer and longer and longer, so I will get you out of focus. Sparring means I will change it into nearly a fight, a boxing match. I'm interrupting the process of listening by any of those blocks, which will end by I am not listening. So these are blocks for true listening.
Effective listening. First thing, activity listening. A. Paraphrasing. B. Classifying. C. Feedback. Second.
Paraphrasing, then?
Clarifying.
So, what do I do? If I'm really actively involved in the process of listening, I will paraphrase, I could give feedback, or I could ask for clarification, or I could nod to clarify to the one speaking that I am following him. And you, I said before, was meant by paraphrasing, saying what I understood in my own words.
C. Feedback.
Yes.
Second, listening with empathy.
It's so vitally important, especially for couples. He will ask certain question to ask for yourself. Empathy, putting yourself in the shoes of the speaker. Someone coming to you and you need to put yourself in his inner life of feelings and thoughts. You think by his own thinking and you feel by his own feeling. This is empathy. So listening with empathy, how to do it?
Yes. Ask yourself these questions regarding the other person. A. What is the reason for his or her anger? B. What danger is this person experiencing? C. What is he or she asking for? Third, listening with openness. A. Do not prejudge. B. Respect abilities and limitations. C. Be patient. Fourth, listening with awareness. A. Comparing what is being said to your own knowledge of history, people, and the way things are. B. Observe congruence.
You will spend by congruence? Congruence means that what I am doing by my body language fits with exactly what I am saying, is compatible with, give the same message. I cannot laugh while I'm saying something sad. So congruence means body language and verbally the two give the same message.
Total listening. 1. Maintain good eye contact.
This is important. Focus on that, please. Yes.
2. Lean slightly forward. 3. Reinforce the speaker by nodding or paraphrasing. 4. Clarify by asking questions. 5. Actively move away from distractions. 6. Be committed, even if you're angry or upset, to understanding what was said.
You understand the last one? Say your spouse is coming to talk to you and you are angry at her or at him. Get away from this anger mood and listen. This is honesty. But while he or she is speaking to you and you are in the anger mood, you are not going to listen. You are not going to focus. So, small tips, especially if you are communicating with a woman. With women, it's so important to have an eye contact. Men is not that important. If you are sitting like that, it's different than if you a bit lean forward. Lean forward means you are more involved. If you are listening and you are nodding, it means that, yes, I understand, yes. Without saying yes. So he knows that you are involved in active listening. Then you paraphrase, clarify, as I mentioned before, and get away from the anger mood. Yes.
Listening for couples.
Okay.
When you are the speaker, first, explain your point of view briefly and clearly. Second, avoid blaming and name-calling. Do not accuse and do not focus on your partner's failings. Third, talk in terms of yourself and your experience. Focus on what you want and what you feel. When you are the listener...
When you are the speaker, as you are going to understand now in expressing, you are delivering a message. The message to express your own feeling or ideas or thoughts or an observation. It has to be said in your own language. Don't say, you are. Say, I feel. I have an idea. I think. I have observed such and such. In I, not you. You means it's an attack. So, in couples, I'm saying spouses or couples or couple are engaged. We're trying to find the most ethical, the most decent way, civilized way of communication. This is the speaker. Then what the listener is doing?
When you are the listener, first, give your full attention so that you can really understand your partner's feelings, opinions, and needs. Second, do not disagree, argue, or correct anything your partner says. Third, you can ask questions to clarify an issue, but not to debate and make counterpoints.
If, say, he or she will express their need, I need to do something for me, I can say, no, you don't need it. I don't know more about your own needs. You know your needs. So I don't argue about your own thoughts. You are entitled to your own thoughts. You know more about your own thoughts. If I set myself as someone who knows more about what is in your head or inside your heart, your feeling, or your needs, I am mistaken. Sometimes we do that mistake. If someone say, I won't, no, I don't think you won't. This is wrong. I have to listen carefully. I have to clarify to understand the need, the idea, the thought, the feeling. I could ask to clarify, I could paraphrase, but the main goal not to argue or debate or negate what he or she is speaking to give me that message. Always, you know, always the client or the customer is right. You can't do it. Just think. If you are at McDonald's, going to buy something from McDonald's, and you are driving your car, drive through, and you stopped at the window, and the person will ask you, "Sir, what do you want?" "Yes." You tell him, "I need to have Big Mac, Big Coke, not diet of course, and Big Fries." What he's going to say to you? He will paraphrase, "You said such, such, and such." And they said, you nod or say yes. Then he will tell you, "It's okay." Now, did he argue with you? Tell me. Could the one working at McDonald's tell you, "You are too fat to eat a big fries"? No, Big Coke is better to get Diet Coke. No, Big Mac is not good for you. He will not say that. Eat chicken. He doesn't argue. He will say, "Okay, yes, harder." Just imagine yourself doing that at your home. Most of the complex fighting will be less. I need a cup of tea. What could be the answer? "Are you sure you need it?" "I need to eat something. Do you think it's healthy for you to eat it?" And start a fight. Remember this McDonald's way of communication. It really applies well to our life. Think of the communication between you and your spouse. When she says something and I argue and debate, not I am paraphrasing to understand and then validating. I listen, understand, then validate what the customer wants. I listen, understand, and then validate his request and assure him that it's done. He could go to the other window and pay for it and get it. Apply that to your own way between the spouses and see. It's called the love, the L-U-V technique, McDonald's technique. Yeah.
Self-disclosure.
This is another topic now. We are faced with the listening. In self-disclosure, which means I'm going to expose myself to you. I'm going to disclose to you something from inside me. Self-disclosure is one of the deep levels of communication. Because communication could be from outside me. I'm talking about hi, hello, or how is the weather? What's the time now? This is just, it's a communication. Or I will go involved in our team, sport, hockey, basketball, president, any political issue is outside of me. But it is a communication. Three different levels outside of me. Hi, how is the weather? Sport or politics? Or whatever issue. Economics. What tax system? Now, I will go now to self-disclosure. I'm disclosing something. Either something from inside me, but not that important, or really, really something deep from the inner core of myself. Say, I'm talking to my spouse, and I want to tell her that the time when I was abused. I'm hurting so much. I need from her the full attention with me. She understands and validates my feeling of hurt and pain. She will listen with empathy. But if I am talking about something so hurtful for me, and I see her or I see him look to the other side, reading a magazine, I'm getting my gut into out. I'm disclosing the deepest of what's inside me, and then he or she is not showing the full attention. What could be my feeling? You say it. I will feel now those blocks. All of them fears. Why sometimes people don't disclose? Why even when I'm going for confession, sometimes I don't disclose? Because I have certain fears. Abuna might punish me. Abuna might not like me. I'm talking about a mystery in which it is communicated to me and God. And I understood it wrong. It's between me and Abuna. Confession is not between me and Abuna. Between me and God in the presence of Abuna. So I diverted the disclosure to Abuna. Then Abuna is a human being. I'm not seeing God who is in him, talking to God who is in him. No, I'm talking to Abuna, the outside. Abuna will judge me. Abuna, I know, is prejudging me. Abuna will reject me. Abuna will hate me. I'm not going to be his son anymore. I fear. So we'll see now those kind of fears, blocks of self-disclosure.
First, fear of rejection. Second, fear of punishment. Three, fear of being talked about behind your back. Four, fear of being taken advantage of. Five, fear of being laughed at. Six, fear of being left alone. Seven, fear of being labeled as a bad person. Eight, fear of being accused of bragging. Nine, fear of knowing yourself.
See the rest too? Sometimes I fear if I'm going to praise God during confession. This is the holiest confession. Maybe Abuna will say I am bragging about the gifts of God to me. This is absurd thinking, but it's a fear. Someone who needs counseling. But it's a fear. If I talk to you in a communication, and then I say something happened to me, and I will fear maybe they will think I am bragging. And the last one. What is the last one?
Fear of knowing yourself.
Did you understand it? I'm afraid if I would disclose, I will know something intentionally for self-defense, I'm keeping it inside. If I will get it out of the dark, I will know it. And it's painful and hurtful, better to be kept inside. These are fears from self-disclosure. But if you are in a family and you see some of the members are not open in their disclosure, they are always secretive, they don't talk to you, think of their fears, whether he is your child, brother, sister, either mom, dad, they might have one of those fears. Understand it well when you are talking and communicating with others. People have these blocks for self-disclosure. Before you judge them that they are too secretive, they want to take from you and not to give. Maybe you are normal because you are disclosing. But then, maybe you have any of these fears. Now, what are the rewards for good self-disclosure?
One, increased self-knowledge. Two, closer intimate relationships. Three, improved communication. Four, lighter guilt feelings. Five, increased awareness of surroundings.
If you disclose something which is aching you, guilt, shaur bizdamb, if you are feeling guilty, and you are talking to someone as an advisor, abuna, in spiritual advice, you are getting what's inside you, and he will tell you, my son, this is negative guilt or positive guilt? Negative guilt feeling, shaur bizdamb, selbi yani, negative, which means this is a demonic attack. It will take you down to feeling of very low self-esteem, and it is one of the diabolic wars, that you are not worthy of talking to God, you are not worthy of being His son, being His own child, and this is a myth, because God is accepting me unconditionally. رَبَّنَا أَبِلْنِي بِلَقِدْ وَلَا شَرْطْ. إذا الشيطان ضحك أيها قال لي أنت لأ، أنت مش ممكن، أنت وحش، أنت I will say no, I am his own child. And he's accepting me unconditionally, irrespective of my sins, because he loves the sinner. We don't debate with Satan, but with ideas which comes to our mind. So negative guilt pull me down. It causes depression. And it needs from the Father of Confession to take my hand, assure me that I am the child of God. Abuna yakid li ana ibn Rabbana li bihibbu. If I am feeling so down because of the negative guilt I'm expecting from my spiritual advice, or you as my friend, dad or mom, to assure me that God the most compassionate, although I did something wrong, He still loves me and He is waiting for me. This is the positive guilt now, positive guilt healing. To repent. So positive guilt leads to repentance. Negative guilt leads to depression and the loss of confidence in God and in His love to me. So during communication, when I disclose something which was aching me, sometimes the guilt is gone, the feeling of guilt. What kind of guilt? Negative guilt. Because positive guilt is something good. Positive guilt always leads to repentance. But sometimes I don't try with my son. I said yesterday the guilt trip. I don't try with my son to shame him. Jesus will not love you. Jesus doesn't love bad boys. You are bad because you are doing such and such and such. And Jesus doesn't love the bad. It is theologically wrong because God loves the sinner. But I want to encourage him. أشجعه. Then I will tell him, Jesus loves you so much, but he will love you more if you tell him, please God forgive me for what I have done. Or you do it this way. If you do it this way, Jesus will love you more. But I don't say the word, he will not like you, or he will hate you. Because God does not like that. And be sure as parents and friends to assure everybody that he is loved unconditionally. But for him to, by God, but if he wants to enjoy the love of Jesus Christ, negative guilt feeling prevents him. Feeling of shame, fear of punishment. Some of the parents play that trick. They put the fear in the hearts and the minds of their children, fear of punishment. Then out of fear, the boys act. Out of physical abuse, which happened a few times, the boy will behave out of fear. It cannot be, it could be one time, but he cannot go all his life fearing his dad, not respecting. Fear of God means respect of God, not fearing his punishment. You understand? We don't fear God means we don't fear his punishment, but we respect him, and we know that he's a fair judge. I don't play that trick on my children. God will put you in hell. God will take you to such and such for him to get better. He will fear God. Fear God means not respect God. He will tremble. How he could imagine that Jesus loves him? He can't. So showing God as a judge, holding a butcher knife or a whip and is waiting to get you. This is not God, at least the one I know. So parents, be careful. And friends, be careful in communication. If someone will disclose something, don't give him the image of God in such a way, and don't express to him, if you are godly, the same expression, that you are going to be away from him. He will not disclose to you anymore. Okay. What's after the disclosure? Expressing.
Expressing.
Yes.
Types of expression.
Yes.
First, observation. Two.
Okay, are we now still in the basic or advanced communication? We're still in the basic skills, which is listening, self-disclosure, and expressing. After we finish expressing, we'll go into the advanced skills. Now, what I am going to express? Yes.
Observations, thoughts, feelings, needs.
I need. I feel. I have an idea. I have observed something. That's why I want to express it to you. So I'm expressing something I have observed, a thought or an idea, a feeling of mine, or a need. Yes.
Types of messages. One, whole messages. Two, partial messages. Three, contaminated messages.
Full message, which contains the whole meaning, half, I say part of the truth only, part of the message only. Contaminated means I will contaminate the message with something else so it will not be clear and precise. Yes.
Preparing a message. 1. Self-awareness. 2. Other awareness. 3. Place awareness. Effective expression.
This one, yes.
1. Open and direct.
Please be aware of those. If you want to give a message, it has to be direct, precise, open, direct. Don't go into indirect. Don't hit in the bush. Please go directly. The message must be direct. And
immediate.
Immediate. Which means, if you will ask me something, and then after 3 days I will answer you. This is not immediate. Immediate means, I will express my idea or thoughts when I listen to you directly. My son did something wrong, okay? After 1 week, I will go to tell him, a week ago, you did such and such. This is not immediate. It has to be as close as possible to the time he did the mistake. So immediacy, after being direct. Yes. Clear?
3. Clear.
Now, what's meant by clear? You find A, B, C, D. Yes.
A. Statement, not a question. B. Congruent. C. No double messages. D. Clear wants and feelings. E. No mixing of observations and thoughts. F. One topic at a time.
If you have so many topics, or thoughts, feelings, and needs, express it one by one. Topics or issues, one by one. For the message to be clear. And don't give a message which carries two meanings. It is not clear message. So these are the characters for a message to be clear. Then after that,
straight.
To the point, straight. Yes?
5. Supportive. Do not use the following tactics. A. Labels. B. Sarcasm. C. Dragging up the past. D. Negative comparisons. E. Judgmental you messages. F. Threats.
If you use any of these even with your children or your spouses, you lost them. This is not supportive message. This is a threat. أنت بتهددهم, بتخوفهم. This is not supportive message. The message must be supportive, positive in a communication. Dragging the past. Some of us are so interested in dragging the past. Which means, as you did to me 20 years ago. What is that? I still remember it for you 20 years. Okay, you are always doing it today, yesterday, the day before. This is your pattern, dragging the past. This is negative. Think all those are negatives, are not supportive. It has to be supportive message. And if I want to give a negative message, I say it in I feel hurt because I listened to such a message. I felt such and such. It's a feeling. So I'm not saying you did such and such to me. You were wrong in saying that. Pointing finger and you. I said, say the result of what happened by listening. I felt hurt. I am in pain. Would you please take, I felt. So give it the message by you, by I, not you. Yes.